Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for being with me today as we continue with our study here in the book of Exodus. Glory to God. Okay, I want to just remind you, if you have been listening to this podcast and you have not yet subscribed, please consider doing so. Just click the follow button right where you are listening to me. If you are on Podbean, the follow button is right on the top right hand of your screen. We are also on Spotify. Click the follow button. We are also on iHeartRadio and various other platforms. Just click the follow button. That way you will receive alerts when we upload a brand new Bible teaching chapters, so you do not miss out on anything. This way you are current in your study of God's Word. And then I also want to ask you to take some time to check out our bookstore, drruthtanyi.org/bookstore, or just visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. Spend a few minutes in our bookstore. I have other Bible teaching books, audio CDs, and magazines, other teachings in USB formats that I know will help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And just so you know, when you get one of my books, audio CDs or magazines, it comes to the ministry as a donation. So you will be helping us to advance God's work, and God in His faithfulness will bless you back abundantly. If you live overseas, though, you can get my books on Amazon. Just get to Amazon and just enter my name, Dr. Ruth Tanyi, and get my books that way as well. So I thank you for taking the extra time to visit our bookstore to get some of my books. That way you can bless us as a donation. Or if you want to just bless us with a donation so we can produce some of these teachings, we thank you so much. And if you have not done so, would you prayerfully consider blessing us even with a one-time donation so we can produce more teachings like this and reach out to many others? We thank you for this consideration, and we know that God will bless you back abundantly. So please help us out financially so we can produce more of these teachings to reach out to many other people. While you are getting this teaching for free, it costs money to pay studio time to produce them. So whatever you give into this ministry will go right back into a studio time to produce more Bible teachings to bless many other people. And God will bless you back. So please visit our website today, drruthtanyi.org, and make a donation. And I thank you in advance, and God will bless you abundantly. So friend, here is today's teaching, and may God's peace and joy fill your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is the teaching.
We are glad you can join us for today's teaching. Have you ever wondered why God gave the law? Today, Dr. Ruth explains. Welcome and be blessed.
Okay, we are down to chapter 20. Boy, we are halfway through the book of Exodus. I am really enjoying this. I hope you are enjoying this as well. So we come to the most significant chapter in this book. And in fact, one of the most significant chapters in the Bible. Because we will learn about the Ten Commandments. Okay, God will give the Ten Commandments to Moses. I'm sure most of you have heard about the Ten Commandments. So let's begin here. Let's take a closer look at these verses. I think I'm going to go pretty much through all of these verses closely because they are all very significant. Okay. Verse 1, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Right away, this is the first commandment God is giving the Israelites. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Let me pause there. Going back to that first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. This is still the same today. And Jesus tells us in the gospel out of Matthew, I believe 6:33, that seek God and his kingdom first and all else shall be given to you. This principle is still the same. This hasn't changed. That God should be number one in our lives. God should take precedence in our lives. Okay, so we should seek God first and no other gods. And some of you may be thinking, well, I don't seek other gods. Well, many people have other gods in the forms of things that they idolize and they worship, such as their children, their husband, parents, wealth, possession, okay? Anything that takes precedence in your life more than God is your God. Anything that rules and dominates your thought 24 hours a day more than the true living God of the Bible has become your God. So God is saying that that is wrong. Okay? He is our God. He is our creator. And we should have nothing in front of him. Okay? And then the second commandment that talks about we should not make an image for ourselves, because no one has seen God and lived. God does not want us to conjure up this image of what he looks like. God is a spirit. We cannot see God in the spiritual realm. So we have to come to him by faith. Okay, so that is why God is telling us no images. And also in this culture where the Israelites came from in Egypt, they had created man-made gods. They had crafted images to worship. And God is telling them that you will not practice like the Egyptian did, creating images to be their god. And even today, people still do that. Believe it or not, people have certain necklaces, certain places in their home. They create altars and they put these figures there and they worship that. That is prohibited by the God of the Bible. You have to come to him through Christ and worship him in spirit, because he is a spirit, and in truth, the truths which have been outlined here in his written word. Okay, verse 5, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And the jealous here, let's talk about this jealousy here, because I've heard some non-Christians say, oh, I cannot worship the God of the Bible because he is jealous. This is not an envious, negative emotion. Let's use an earthly example. Let's say you are a parent. You have your children. You love them dearly. You want the best for them. If you see your children running after the drug dealers, if you see your children becoming prostitutes, you will have a love, jealousy towards them, because you want the best for them. You don't want them to go astray. That's what's happening here. God has a love, jealousy towards us, because he wants the best for us. He wants to protect us. He cares about our well-being. That's all this is talking about. It's not talking about the fact that God is jealous, that if you worship some other God, he will fall off the throne. No, that's not what this is referring. This is just saying that he loves you. He wants to guide you. He is hurt when you go astray. He is hurt when you put yourself in harm's way, because that is not his will for you. That's what this is saying here. So it's a good godly jealousy. It's good. If you love somebody, you will genuinely want the best for them. Okay, so let's move on to verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. This is one of the most abused commandments today. You see people who don't even love God. Oh my God! I mean, the name of Jesus is a curse word today in America, and that is ridiculous. You hear people who don't even accept Jesus Christ. When something happened, they're going to scream, Jesus Christ! They don't mean that in their heart. They just use it as a curse word. Boy, I tell you, we have to be careful the way we call the name of God, because it truly reflects, the way we use the name of the Lord reflects our relationship towards God. Honestly, somebody who truly loves God, respect God, honor God as your creator, will honor his name correctly, not abuse it, okay? We have to be careful with that. And we come to verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither your son or your daughter, nor your male or your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner in your towns. For the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Again, we see God telling us here how on that seventh day he wants us to rest. And I have already explained the principle of Sabbath, so I will not repeat myself. You can go back and re-listen to that teaching. But this is so important. And I want to just add here before I move on to verse 12 that we can see already in the first 11 verses that the first four commandments are vertical. What I mean by that is they are pertaining to our relationship with God. This is important. And this really hasn't changed. I will talk about this as we proceed here. True, Jesus fulfilled all of the commandments of God. He did not abolish them. He just gave us a different perspective of how to approach the commandments of God, which are now written in our hearts if we are a New Testament believer. Because remember, in the book of Ezekiel, which we will get there, God said in, I believe, chapter 36, that he will write his laws in our hearts. He will give us a new spirit. That prophecy has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus, who is the Messiah, that we can come to God through Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. So God himself is living in us in the form of his spirit, which means that the laws of God have been written in our hearts. So if you are a child of God and you are walking in obedience, focusing on Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of your faith, and you love God, as a byproduct, you will exude or you will walk in these laws naturally. Okay? And Jesus later on taught us in the New Testament, and we will talk more about this when we get there, that all of the commandments hangs on love. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is a fulfillment of God's law, which means if you love God, you will walk in love, one, obey God, okay, and take time to worship God, fellowship with God as you focus on Jesus. And that would be fulfilling that principle of the Sabbath, and you would honor the name of the Lord. You see how this is all interwoven? Okay? Also, please take note that these first four commandments, like I said, are vertical. Because in order for us to operate in the rest of the commandments, the other six I will discuss shortly here, which are considered horizontal, meaning that it has to do with your relationship with your fellow human beings, you have to first be firmed in the first four, which are vertically connected with God. So in essence, you cannot treat your fellow human beings with love. You cannot treat your fellow human beings with respect or honor your mother or your parents, if you do not have that vertical relationship with God, if God is not number one in your life. So that is the significance of this. And this is no accident the way God said this, that the first four commandments has to do with the vertical relationship with Him, because we have to be rooted in God through Christ before we can give to others love, respect. You cannot give to people what you don't have. So as you are attached to God, Jesus tells us in the New Testament that He is the vine, we are the branches. As we are attached to the vine, i.e. God through Christ, we have this vertical relationship going, then we have enough to give to everybody else. Please, I hope you get this picture. Again, consistent with Matthew 6:33, seek God first and His kingdom, all else shall be added to you. Without us having that relationship with God, we're useless to everybody else. Okay? I think you get that. I better move on. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay. Commandment number 5. This is crucial. God is after the parents. God wants us to honor our parents. What does that mean? That means that we love our parents. We respect our parents as the ones who give us life. Now, I must clarify. This is only good to the extent that our parents are godly parents and they are emulating God's righteousness. If, as an example, our parents, unfortunately, are evil, they do wrong, they violate the laws of God, they violate the laws of society, even though they are our parents, we are not to emulate that behavior. Okay, we can still honor them, respect them as human beings, because we have to love people. We have to love people, but hate the evil act. But we are not to emulate evil, wrong from our parents. Okay, so please keep that in mind. Moving on to verse 13, you shall not murder. Here's another commandment. I think we're down to, is this commandment number 4, 5, number 6? You shall not murder. Again, murder has to do with intentionally plotting or having malicious intentions, premeditation to kill somebody. Okay, this is different. This is not killing out of self-defense. That is different. God is talking here about where you have evil intentions in your heart to go kill somebody. Again, if you love God, you love people, you would refrain from such behaviors. Next, commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Huge. We all know what adultery is, having sexual relations outside of marriage, okay? This is sin. Again, God is telling us that sexual purity is a must, because we would later learn that all sorts of sin we commit is outside of our body, but sexual sin is against ourselves and against God. God does not like sexual sins. We are not to commit adultery. We shall not steal. We know what that means. I don't need to explain. We shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is so huge. You know, this commandment, God did not give this commandment so that we can be stuck in an area or He can toss us like wimps. If you take the time to truly study and meditate on these commandments, they are for your own good. They are for your own good. Okay, we should not go about falsely accusing people who are innocent. That is a very ungodly and unrighteous thing to do. And we shall not covet our neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his property. Essentially, that is what that is saying. The whole thing about coveting here is a strong tendency towards envy or towards wanting something that belongs to somebody else. You know why? Because the Lord knows that the moment you start to take your eyes off of yourself, off of Him first, and off of the blessings He has blessed you with, and you start to covet or have a strong desire, persuasion towards the blessings of others, it will lead to a deadly emotion called jealousy and resentment. That emotion, if it goes unchecked, if you do nothing about that, will lead to strife, murder, and a lot of negative things will come out of that. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? That is an example right there. When we covet people's blessings, boy, it can lead to jealousy. God is saying that these emotions are deadly. Stay away from them. These emotions are demonic. These emotions will open the door for your enemy, Satan, to come into your life to kill, steal, and devour you. It is very appropriate for us to look at the blessings in somebody else's lives or see what God is doing in somebody else's life as a way to say, wow, if God can do this for them, He can do this for me too. We should look at the blessings in other people's lives as a way to encourage us and strengthen our faith in God, and not to covet, not to become jealousy, not to have such a strong desire. And people who do this are people who are really struggling with insecurity, because they want the attention and that the other person is getting to come to them. It just shows a very major weakness in their lives, because they have this lack of self-control about material things that they cannot be happy until they have exactly what somebody else has. Boy, if you are struggling with this problem, I really recommend that you go to the Lord to help you, deliver you from this, because it will ruin you. Satan will use it to bring down your destruction. And God is telling us right here, that is bad. So you would be wise to heed that advice. Okay, verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard this trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. Again, God had given Moses the Ten Commandments, and the people were just afraid of the presence of God in that thunder. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." You know, just real quick, the Israelites had what I believe was a negative fear towards God. God of the Bible is a God of love. God does not want us to be so afraid of Him in such a way that we cannot come to Him directly through Christ. That is not what this is implying. That is not a healthy fear. God wants us to come to Him in boldness through Christ and talk to Him directly, because He loves us and He desires a relationship with us. So let's not get a holy fear of God mixed up with an ungodly fear of God, or a pathological fear of God, rather, because to be so afraid of God to the extent that you cannot even approach Him, that is pathological, that is sickening, that is not God's will for you. So you can approach God in a holy fear, because He is your creator. You can worship Him, but go to Him with your needs through Christ, okay? All right, so verse 20, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid." He was encouraging them. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Again, the fear here is a good fear. It's a holy fear of God, because He is your creator. It's a holy fear because you want to honor Him, you want to obey Him. So you have a healthy fear towards God because you don't want to hurt Him. Okay, just like if you are married, you would have a healthy fear towards cheating on your spouse because it would be the wrong thing to do. That's what's happening here. Verse 21, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Now, we come to verse 22 and the end of this chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourself that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourself gods of silver or gods of gold." So God just went on to explain to Moses that these people should not build any kind of carved image or altars to represent him. He spoke highly against all of that, and like I had explained, God is a spirit. We are not to conjure up this image of what God looks like. And God was reiterating this, knowing that the Israelites came from a culture out of Egypt where the Egyptians did all of that. So God is just going on here to emphasize that he doesn't want them to do that. Before I close this chapter, let's look at verse 25. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. Again, God is giving a specific instructions. This is important. Let me just add a sentence here. God is training these people, molding and shaping them, teaching them how he wants them to worship him. So he is telling them, don't do this. Don't build an altar this way. Don't add this. Don't do this. Telling them that, hey, don't try to represent your old lifestyle, or don't try to mimic what you saw the Egyptians do in order to worship me. He is giving them specific instructions how they should worship him. This does not mean that God is trying to control them. No, God is just training and molding them to strengthen their faith, because remember, they came from a very pagan culture. So we see God giving them instructions how they should behave and even worship him, which is very appropriate. Okay, that's all that is happening here. So that brings us to the end of chapter 20, and the Ten Commandments have been given to Moses. And so let's look at the major principle and application out of this chapter. Principle, the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites only, okay, whom God had chosen as his holy nation to represent him among other nations on the earth. Like I said earlier, the first four pertaining to their relationship with God, and the rest of the commandments had to do with their relationship with fellow human beings. So coming out of Egyptian bondage, the Israelites needed some sort of direction how to live on their own. Thus, these commandments were given as a guide for them, which represented God's holy character and nature. And like I said earlier, even though these commandments were given to the Israelites only, as New Testament believers, these commandments are now written in our hearts. I already explained that. So do we still have to live out these commandments? Yes, really, yes. But again, out of love, because we love God. Okay, so keep that in mind. What is the major application besides these 10 commandments, which really can be considered moral or spiritual laws? There were over 600 other commandments. I mean, some Bible scholars say about 644 other commandments given to the nation of Israel, i.e. the Jews, that they had to keep. And these commandments had to do with their social relations, commandments that had to do with property, and then judiciary commandments that had to do with the judiciary system. So in all, there were three categories of commandments that God gave to the nation of Israel. Like I said, the first category is the moral or spiritual laws. And the second category has to do with social laws, or laws relating to how they got along with each other. This had to do with property laws, personal injury laws, marriage laws, relationship laws. And then you have the third category of laws that has to do with the judiciary system, how the country has to be ruled and governed, which is why there were about 644 or so laws given to the nation of Israel. And some of those laws, especially the social laws, judiciary laws, do not pertain to us today, because of course that had to do with them, the way they live, the boundaries, the land. That is not happening today. But these moral and spiritual laws are still relevant to us as followers of Christ Jesus. Okay, so I hope you received that.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.